Dhammadharashtakam with Dig Darshini Tika by Srila Sanatan Goswami. In the month of Kartik, one should worship Lord Krishna by daily reciting the prayer spoken by the sage Satyavrata Muni, which is known as Dhammadharashtakam. Text 1. Namamishwaram Satchit Anandarupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Rajamanam Yashoda Biyolu Kalad Dhavamanam Paramrishtam Atyantato Dritya Gopya. To the Supreme Controller, who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, who manifests himself in Gokul, who stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms, and who then quickly jumped up and ran in retreat out of fear of his mother Yashoda, but who was ultimately caught, to that Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. Commentary by Srila Sanatan Goswami. Bowing down before Sri Damodar Ishvara, who is accompanied by Sri Radhika, I now commence my purport of Dhammadharashtaka, entitled Dig Darshani. In the beginning of the Mula Shloka, the very first intention is expressed by the word Namami, I bow down. Obeisances are thus offered with love and devotion before commencing the description of the Lord's specific characteristics of excellence that are exhibited by his tattva, rupa, lila, guna, and so forth. Also mentioned is the essence of Damodar's own divine supremacy as the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifest in Gokula, and also Damodar's distinctive features as the origin of all. And furthermore, the word Namami is indicative of an auspicious invocation, Mangala Artham. At the start of all functions, it is customary to offer respects to Ishvara, which expresses an attitude of devotional service unto the Lord. And so for this reason, obeisances are offered first unto the Lord in this first verse. Now, Srila Sanatan Goswami examines tattva vishesh, or the excellence of the Lord's truth. Obeisances unto whom? Unto Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, namely, He who is Sarva Shakti Manta, endowed with all potencies. Jagateka Nath, the only Lord of the universe. And Nijaprabhu, my own master. In the first instance, Damodar is addressed as such in order to obtain the shakti or power needed to offer the prayer. In the second instance, Damodar is addressed as such to indicate that he is the one and only Lord who is actually praiseworthy. And in the final instance, Damodar is addressed as such to signify the specific nature of bhakti or devotion. How is Damodar manifest? He is manifest as Sachid Ananda Rupam, or a form composed of compressed clouds of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And so, this is the statement of his supreme sovereignty in regards to his tattva vishesh, the attribute or excellence of truth. Now, rupa vishesh, the excellence of his beauty, is described. Damodar's distinct excellence of beauty is illustrated as follows. La Santi, the swinging of his earrings, which was manifested when he ran away in fear of Sri Yashoda. Or, also it could mean, his earrings sport upon his cheeks as a result of his continuously playing in the transcendental pastimes of childhood. Thus, Damodar's divinely splendorous face is especially portrayed. And also, there is yet another meaning of Lasat Kundalam, which is due to the Mahasaubhagya, or great fortune, of personally kissing his divine cheeks. And so these earrings have attained a position of super excellence above all of his other ornaments. And this super excellence also indicates the fortune of the other ornaments adorning his various limbs. Furthermore, Lasanti indicates that these earrings are glistening because they are enriched with the splendorous effulgence of the Lord's bodily complexion. Therefore, Krishna's own body is the ornament of all of his ornaments. That is the meaning. Consequently, it is stated by the gopis in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kastri Yanga Ke Kala Padayata Venu Gita Sammohitarya Charitam Nachale Trilokyam Trilokya Salbhagam Idam Cha Niriksha Rupam Yad Godvijadruma Mriga Pulakanya Vibram. My dear Lord Krishna, where is that woman within the three worlds who would not be captivated by the rhythms of the sweet songs coming from your wonderful flute? Who would not fall down from the path of chastity in this way? Your beauty is the most sublime within the three worlds, for upon seeing your beauty, why, even cows, birds, animals, and trees in the forest become stunned in jubilation. So what is the wonder, then, if we gopis are also bewildered? In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also stated by Sri Uddhava to Vidura regarding the beauty of Sri Krishna. Yanmartya lilaupayikam swayoga mayabalam darshayata grihitam vismapanam swasya cha salvagardhe parang padang bhushana bhushanangam. In order to exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his pastimes within this material world. And this form was wonderful even for him, and was the supreme abode of the wealth of good fortune. The limbs of that body were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of Krishna's body. Now, the Parivara Vishesh, or attributes of his family, portray his unique excellence. The word Gokule indicates that place where gopas, gopis, cows, calves, and so forth reside. The word Brajamanam indicates a particularly befitting place wherein Krishna can manifest an excellence that surpasses that of all previous leelas. And moreover, Krishna is splendorous because only in Gokula does Krishna manifest his Swabhavika Shobha, or most natural characteristics of brilliance. As it is stated in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tatro Pavishto Bhagavan Sa Ishwaro Yogeshwar Antar Hridi Kalpitasana Chakasa Gopi Parishad Gatorkitas Trilokya Lakshmieka Padang Vapur Dadhat. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for whom the great masters of mystic meditation arrange a seat within their hearts, took his seat within the assembly of gopis. His transcendental body, the exclusive abode of beauty and opulence within the three worlds, shone brilliantly as the gopis worshiped Lord Sri Krishna. Manifesting a body which is the abode of all the splendor of the three worlds, Krishna sat upon the asana presented by the gopis. Krishna was worshipped by the gopis and thereby radiated even more splendor. Krishna's excellence of Lila Vishesh, or attributes of his pastimes, are stated in the last two lines of the first verse of Damodarashtaka. The word Yashoda indicates from his mother Yashoda. Bhiya indicates the fear of being punished for his offense of breaking the yogurt pots, stealing fresh butter, and so forth. Ulukalat denotes from the wooden grinding mortar. In order to steal the fresh butter suspended from the rafters, Krishna took a large wooden grinding mortar, which was kept in the same storeroom, turned it on its end, and climbed up upon it. But, spotting his mother coming into the room with a stick in her hand, Krishna immediately gets down once again. And the word, Davamanam, Krishna speedily runs away. So in this regard, if one desires to know the particulars of this pastime, it can be found in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th chapter. And it was at that time, Krishna was sitting on an upside-down wooden mortar for grinding spices, and he was distributing milk preparations, such as yogurt and butter, to the monkeys as he liked. Because of having stolen, Krishna was looking all around with great anxiety, suspecting that he might be chastised by his mother. Yashoda, upon seeing Krishna, very cautiously approached him from behind. And when Lord Sri Krishna saw his mother, stick in hand, Krishna very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee as if very much afraid. Although yogis try to capture Krishna as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord by performing great austerities and penances, they fail to reach him. But here, Mother Yashoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead to be only her son, began following Krishna just to catch him. Now, coming back to this first verse of Damodarashtakam, we find the words Tatam Drutya, meaning Yashoda ran very swiftly. Due to the Sanskrit samas conjunction, these two words become one. And the word Gopya by Sri Yashoda, Pada Amrishtam, catching hold of Krishna's back. Here the words Atyam Tatam Drutya, running behind Krishna very swiftly, imply the Saundarya Vishesh, or excellence of beauty, of Yashoda's full breast, broad hips, and so on, as well as the particulars of Yashoda's affection for her son Krishna. The loving use of the word Gopya connotes the grand fortune that came upon the Gopa caste because Krishna preferred to appear among the cowherder community. And by the word Para Amrishtam, caught by his back, the unique attribute of super excellent affection that Bhagavan Sri Krishna feels for Yashoda Mata, or Sneha Vishesh, is intimated. In this regard also, one may search out the following verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9. Anvanchamana janani brihachchalach troni varakanta gati sumadhyama javena visrangsita kesha bandhana chuta prasunanu gati paramrishat. And while following Krishna, Mother Yashoda, her thin waist overburdened by her heavy breast, naturally had to reduce her speed. And because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose, and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. But yet, Yashoda did not fail to capture her son, Krishna. Thus ends Sanatana Goswami's Digdarshini Tika on the first shloka of Sri Damodarashtakam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Namami Shwaram Satchit Ananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Go Kule Brajamanam. Yashoda Biolukalad Dhavamanam Paramrishtam Atyantato Drutya Gopya. Jaya Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe. Jaya Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.